Good evening. I would like to call tonight's Kendall County Board special meeting for October 25th, 2018 at 5 p.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulik? Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Running late.
Mr. Giles?
Won't be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
She won't be here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
Second.
Motion by, that's distracting, Mr. Wyman. Which one of you referred to? Mr. Davidson, seconded by Mr. Kellogg. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, John. Purcell. Citizens to be heard. Record show there's no one. Need for executive session at this time? There's not. New business. Standing committee reports. Admin HR. Judy, since the chair is not here for the committee, I'm going to turn to you.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for approval of Blue Cross Blue Shield 2019 health insurance plan.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Purcell. Scott?
The Horton Group is running a little bit late, but they were here last Thursday to present the plans listed on your agenda, except the dental, to the HR admin committee. And the committee suggested that they recommended that unanimously to go with the Blue Cross Blue Shield option. If you go to in your packet, it should be page one that lists off the current United Healthcare option and then the Blue Cross Blue Shield option. A notable change is that there is a third plan that's offered. It would be considered an alternative plan that has some higher deductibles to just try to give employees more options. It's very similar to the HSA, but that's the big difference is it's got a little bit of a lower premium but some higher deductibles. So if people want to, if that would fit their lifestyle the best, then they could, another option for the employees. Happy to answer any questions.
Sure. Mr. Prochaska.
With the third option, that's also the embedded option.
Correct. Yeah, it's got an embedded deductible. So while the total deductible is higher, the way the embedded deductible works is if one family member hits a lower number, then they would essentially be at the deductible for that one family member. So it does operate differently than the traditional HSA does.
Any other questions or comments on this? Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Thank you. All ayes.
I'd like to make a motion for approval of MetLife 2019 Basic and Voluntary Life Insurance Plan.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Purcell. Mr. Keppel.
MetLife was one of the lower options. It's a better deal if you combine and also get MetLife Dental, which was significantly the best price. I believe it's about a 10% discount on the first plan for the dental. So then that's where why the committee unanimously recommended to go to MetLife for the basic life and then also the voluntary life, which is an option for employees to use.
Questions on this? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for approval of IMED 2019 Vision Plan.
Motion by Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Any questions on this?
What's Mr. Davidson. The difference of
Mr. Keppel.
This is the same company that the county had last year. There's a 0% increase, and the committee decided in large part to stick with IMED, so because of the health insurance change and the dental change, to minimize change for employees and not change every single program. And if you're used to going to the same provider, then there wouldn't be a large change for you. You can go back to your same optometrist and continue going forward.
Did we have any complaints from any of the employees on the
having an administration? I don't know if any have come through. I don't think Bob or Jill are here tonight, but not to my knowledge.
Ms.
Scott,
Gilmore?
Could you explain how this vision plan is a little different than our other health insurance plans and that it's the employee just opts to go into this plan?
Yeah, this one is an optional plan. It's fully paid for by the employee, and it's they said one of the upsides to iMed is iMed's going to cover your more, like if you go to Walmart or to like the bigger companies, Lens Crafters, where some of the other ones have a different market coverage where they go to more smaller shops. And the change is people can feel it because the network changes considerably if you change companies. So that was one of the reasons that Horton recommended to stay with iMed as well.
And Mr. Purcell.
Maybe you mentioned it, but price is being held for 2 years, correct?
That was on the dental.
Oh, is that on the dental?
Yeah, the eye is, this is flat from last year, but it is the 1 year.
Oh, okay, this one's 1 year then. Okay, thank you.
Other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye. No pun intended.
Hey,
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All right. All eyes.
All see with an eye.
Hope that's in the minutes appropriately.
Noted.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the MetLife 2019 Dental Insurance Plan Option 1.
Second. Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Purcell. Mr. Keppel.
Okay, this one's a little bit different. At the meeting, Member Kulik asked for what the impact of a cost increase would be to double from $750 to $1,500 for the orthodontia lifetime maximum. And that's what they did not have. Horton did not have that information available at the committee meeting. So the choice is made to put four different plan options on the board agenda. Whatever the board thinks is the best fit, they're all with MetLife. They are all at a reduction. If you go to the page labeled Kendall County Dental Review, January 1st, 2019, option one is exactly what we have this year. It's almost 11% decrease from last year, in large part because the commission is netted out of there because Horton is paid on a monthly basis. Option two is going with the $1,500 orthodontia and no deductible. Option three has a deductible, but not for preventative. So if you go in and get your teeth cleaned, get your x-rays, that is not subject to the deductible. But cavities, other things would be. And that also has the $1,500 orthodontia. And then option four is a deductible with our current number of $750 for orthodontia. And Mike is here from Horton if there's additional questions.
That's good timing. Mr. Prochaska. I'll go to Mr. Kellogg.
Well, maybe his question too, but the out-of-network is the same across except for that annual or lifetime orthodontist?
Yes. So apparently there's a minimum. If you up the in-network to 1,500, the out-of-network has to go up to 1,000.
I guess my question is, what percent of dentists are actually in-network? Because personally speaking, my dentist, she said that very few are in network anyway, so.
Well, this would be changing from United Healthcare to MetLife, so I don't know if that would impact that. They have a MetLife has a little bit of a better, and maybe Mike can answer a little better than me. They have a little bit of a better market share.
There's a top tier of providers, top tier of carriers. MetLife is one of those. Actually, I would consider United probably in a second tier, so there would be more providers available.
Do you know in the Chicago land area roughly like how many, what percent are actually in the network?
I don't.
I don't know if it would even, how many employees would even affect if we went to the $50 out of network versus the zero for in network.
Yeah, most of the other features remain constant. And again, it's out of network is covered at 90th percentile of reasonable and customary, which is virtually every dentist is going to accept that.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes. 1,500. Again, with the cost of orthodontia work, it's typically $5,000-$6,000. The 750 really kind of, I quite honestly, I haven't seen that benefit in a long time. 1,500 is more market, par on market.
Mr. Purcell.
Thank you, sir. Couple questions, please. Is that $1,500 per family or is that per person?
That's per person. Okay. And it's typically, this benefit only applies to those under age 19 for orthodontia.
Okay, and then the next question is, if I recall correctly, I thought you stated that the zero deductible is not really the norm right now either.
That's correct. Yeah, typically we'll see a $50 deductible. Again, that deductible is waived for preventive services. It's also waived for orthodontia services. Okay. And that's on par with the market.
Preventive, does that include, as Mr. Keppel stated, x-rays, for example, if you're going for your standard x-rays?
Yeah, I missed that part, but it would be your cleanings and x-rays that, okay, that would be part
those
of that.
Those would be excluded from the deductible then?
Correct.
So what if my conversation we just had here, what you're saying you see as the norm, not always, but the norm, would be option three with the 50 and 150 deductible and then the $1,500 orthodontia lifetime max? Is that more in line?
Yes.
With what you said?
Yeah, option three.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion for option one.
Yeah.
You know, if others have other ideas.
Mr. Davidson.
I know this is a crazy thing, but is there any possibility? I mean, some people would like to, have option four. Some would prefer maybe option two. We got to have just one option that they can take. Is a premium, can a premium be adjusted to how, whatever percentage or what each group takes?
So offering two different plan options?
Yeah.
It's a possibility. I wouldn't necessarily say that we would see option two and four in a two plan option.
I understand. Give the employees a deductible for X number of dollars, because that's what we're really talking about, the deductible or not.
Sure.
And,
well, I mean,
whatever, the 10 people take the one, that we get billed for the 10, and 50 people get billed monthly deductible, we get billed that much for them. But each person would have their own kind of program.
Are you saying the deductible is a strong consideration or prevention type?
I assume it would be a consideration.
It's a $50 deductible per year. So,
yeah.
First of all, so we could certainly entertain with MetLife offering a two option plan. What you'd probably see is a very stripped down version is what they prefer to do, and then a very rich version, which is kind of what you have with the $1,500 ortho though. So it'd be option two. The stripped down version would be probably not even entertain orthodontia. It'd be probably $1,000 of annual benefit. That's more common than what we would see in the marketplace. Then there'd be two price points for people to choose.
Well,
I'm not sure how that would go with the union contracts, though.
I don't think dental's mentioned specifically.
Okay.
Let the record show that Ms. Flowers is now present. Scott, was there a recommendation out of the committee?
With this one, no, because the committee didn't have the price options at the time. That's why there's four options on the agenda.
Mr. Purcell?
I have a couple. Maybe a question. I don't recall on the dental, is that something that we share in the cost, or is that something where the employees pay the full portion?
I thought that the single was completely paid by the employer and the employees pay part of the cost for family.
Single is fully funded by the employer.
Yes.
And then the employee is partially funded by the employee. Okay. So then to follow up with Mr. Davidson's points, and I agree, giving them options is typically good, but if you look at the pricing differences, they're so close. I think for the, and we're talking, especially if not paying anything other than a family, the literally pennies, maybe a dollar or two a month in difference that they pay, I think you're better just to pick one option, not make it confusing, and move forward. And Mr. Prochaska, you seem to like option, was it two or three? three. You know, I would withdraw my second and you know, Judy, it's, you know, you made the original and go with option three if that would.
I agree. You know, if you look at the premium, they're virtually the same on all four plans. So it's just a really a difference in two and three is just that deductible, isn't it?
Correct.
Mr. Keller?
Do you know what plan, like MetLife plan number this is? I'm trying to search for dentists in the area, and there's literally 40 different choices that I have to make.
You just choose a PPO.
Is there a consensus on the suggestion, Mr. Majeski?
Yeah, I agree. I like option three. It brings our dental plan more industry standard. We're able to provide an increase in benefit for employees, and at the same time, with the increase in the deductible, we're also at the same time able to lower our expenditure. So it's cheaper than, it would be cheaper than the current plan.
Liz, did you have
okay.
All right, so Mr. Purcell, did you withdraw your motion as to option one, and Judy, you're withdrawing the motion altogether? May I have a new motion for approval of MetLife 2019 Dental Insurance Plan option three?
Second.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Gilmore. Any additional discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All eyes. All teeth?
Yes. Smile.
Six eyes. I should have said six eyes before. It's like bifocals.
Oh, four eyes. Yeah, well, I have those. They come transitions now, I think.
All right, finance. Mr. Who wants to take that? Mr. Kellogg, will you be our finance? Or Mr. Prochaska? Just trying to think if he's on fire.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the supplemental claims in amount not to exceed $998,657.97.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion on the claims? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All eyes. He can't. He's going to abstain.
No, he's going to use it now or
after? Because we'll lose our quorum.
No, we got.
Oh, all right. Under the rules of order, Mr. Purcell shall be treated as though he is not here. He's informed the chair that he will be abstaining from this discussion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve quarter claims in the amount not to exceed $1,398.66.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Flowers. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you.
Okay, now hand it to the chairman. Huh?
Which chairman? Oh, okay.
Chairman of the Finance Committee, John Purcell.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what you were referring to there. I've been called a lot of things, so. Next thing we have is the Alliant Mesro presentation on the 2019 ICRMT renewal. I'll be good.
You have a very conservative shirt today.
Well,
compared to usual.
Well, yeah, it keeps me warm, longer sleeves, more cooler weather. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. I'm Dan Mackey with Alliance Public Sector Team. We are pleased here to present the renewal for the property liability and workers' compensation. Today I have Dane Wall, our lead executive for the program. We think we had a great result for the renewal, and I'll pass it to Dane to hit on some of our highlights.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. And thank you to the county for your confidence and being your property casualty insurance broker. We appreciate that. So what I'm going to do is go really high level, and if there's any questions or anything like that, myself or Dan are happy to entertain those, of course. So as Dan mentioned, we did have a good renewal. The increase, while we did have a slight increase in the face of some of additional exposures and some loss experience, the increase was below initial ICRMT indications of less than 1% of an increase for the entire insurance package. So that would be the liability coverages, the property, the workers' comp, as well as Alliant Mesereau's fee that's in there as well. So less than 1% increase overall. So insurance premiums are largely determined by exposures, and those exposures are primarily things like increases in your property schedules and number of vehicles, things like that, as well as payroll, how many employees do you have here working. And you've increased in some of those areas as much as 5% in payroll, as well as in your property schedule as well. And then also on your workers' comp, your experience modification factor, which determines how you're doing with your employee injuries, also increased by about 18%. But in light of those changes or those developments, your premium is still, like I said, below what was initially indicated by our ICRMT. So we feel very good about that. And you can see, even with some of those exposure increases and some of the loss experience, we do have some coverage enhancements that are a part of this as well.
Where would those be listed?
In the executive summary.
Okay.
Front page of the executive summary, where we have increase in your crime limit. So your crime limit went from 500,000 to 1 million. Your sexual abuse and molestation limit increased significantly from 100,000 to 1 million. And that is a pretty important coverage to have, and to have that beefed up, we really felt that that was important to have that limit. Equipment breakdown coverage also increased from 50 million to 100 million. The addition of a new coverage for ICRMT, and that is called deadly weapon response coverage. I've included with your packet here on the back side a description of what that coverage is. It does provide for third-party liability as well as first-party costs if there were to ever be a deadly weapon or assailant type issue here at the county, where it helps pay for not only the liability that might be sustained by a group perhaps claiming negligence that the county didn't provide a secure enough facility, could be an example. It provides crisis communication, public relations support, counseling services, all of that. So all of those services are now, it's a new coverage as a part of the ICRMT. There are multiple property, significant property increases that are also contained in the proposal. And those are in ICRMT's quote in the property section as well. So those are some of the high-level enhancements that we were able to negotiate into the policy.
Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. Could you help me here with the equipment breakdown? Increase in building contents value from 50 million to 100 million. That's termed as equipment breakdown. Is that just buildings, or is that if the computers crashed in the building? What is considered equipment breakdown?
Yeah, equipment breakdown is kind of a little known coverage, but you may be familiar with the coverage's older term called boiler and machinery.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So synonymous with boiler and machinery. And equipment breakdown does refer to things like, if you have boilers, it includes things like heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems, things like that, that you might have a sudden event that causes a loss, a surge, if you will. So, you know, back in the day, whenever we had boilers basically heating every part of our facilities, They were prone to that kind of thing. It was really important to have that kind of coverage. We see less and less boilers, but what do we see? We see furnaces and other things that can also have a failure in that way too.
So would this cover a situation where, you know, if the air conditioning unit on the building were to go out, then we would have coverage for what exactly?
Well, it really depends, and it is with equipment breakdown, it does require a coverage determination. So it doesn't cover things like normal wear and tear or maintenance issues that might come about from an AC unit going out, but it's really more of a surge is the best way, or a sudden event that was not predicted.
Lightning strike or something that might take out a unit?
Well, even a lightning strike would be a part of your property.
Really, the cause of loss being the unit kind of coming where the electrical surge caused the failure, and then it would be covered under the property. So it's not covered under the normal fire perils.
So we're not $100 million on that. We're not $100 million where the AC units. Hell, we're arguing over $850,000.
Well, and it could be and really what that means is too the resulting damage from that incident. Yeah. So let's say that furnace unit, that AC unit, caught fire or did something from that. That's the cause of loss, and that caused the burn. You know, the burning of your building. Then in that case, absolutely, it could reach that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. So there is a premium.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I've got a question on that. You know, we're constantly, a lot of our air conditioners are 25, 30 years old, and we're replacing them, which, you know, with better units and everything else. Would that run it, bringing this down? I mean, say we spent $1 million to replace five or six air conditioners, you know, which are not cheap, but, you know, the breakdown and the problem child of them are, that lower the rate.
That's,
I would say they take it into effect as a whole account. So they would say if there was a more of a concern, like you say, we have a retention on the program, so for them it may have a effect, but not a huge effect on the actual dollars for the premium.
I'm only looking at $100,000.
For the record, Ms. Kulik is present.
Thank you.
Good evening. Okay.
I'd like to just quickly just make sure that you're all aware of the premium summary tab, and that outlines very clearly the difference between the renewal or the expiring premium with ICRMT and the current premium that's there, and just highlighting again, or just maybe pointing out, our brokerage service fee is separate. It's the $49,000 figure, and the insurance premium as quoted with ICRMT does not include commissions, so that is net of the commission is net, so we only pay you only pay the insurance broker fee of $49,000.
Sure. Judy.
Do we have another binder for
sure.
Ms. Kulik?
Come in.
Thank you.
What a wonderful clerk, already on top of it.
And so,
Mr. Purcell.
Sometimes
in
those. Oh, we have another one? Yes.
You'll learn to ask questions. Some nice. So the difference between our net cost, we'll call it total cost, for this year versus last year is less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's a good job, guys.
Thank you. Sometimes an illustration helps out quite a bit to explain the coverages that you do have in place. So I just draw your attention to the coverage tower tab, where it does have the illustration of your
tower.
Coverages.
I like that. Coverage
yes,
tower.
It's a coverage tower.
Fancy.
Your deductibles, your retentions have remained the same. There's no change there. The only thing that has changed this year is, for instance, your building limit. That change for your property coverage, that changes as your building values change. So those numbers have been reflected here. We've gone through with staff looking at your expiring building schedules, vehicle schedules, and we've scrubbed those, and these are your new values as has been determined for the new policy.
Interesting.
Any questions?
Mr. Purcell.
I know we're not here at this point, and maybe we won't be, but as you dive into our operations, the history over the next, you know, year, maybe for next year, we've increased our deductibles over the years. Maybe you could look into that and see if it makes sense to do that in the future. I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but that's something over the past few years we've looked at several times, and so that's just something I'd appreciate you looking at going forward.
Absolutely. It's part of our intent, if you'd like, in the future, to, while you have a good relationship and a long-term relationship with ICRMT, we need to look at different options, and that might include different retention levels, different markets that also might be viable and present a good option for the county. So all of those things are on the table, and we've already started, even before the meeting, digging into getting to know the county, and we'll spend a lot of time doing that.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Purcell.
No, I actually have a question for you. Are we looking to recommend approval of this tonight? I mean, it's on the agenda.
I'm not sure the way that that's written, Mr. Keppel.
Yeah, so it would be, tonight was to present the renewal to the group. If they're fine with the renewal, then it would be on the first board meeting of November with the dollar amount and
okay.
the correct language. So tonight was just the proposal in case there's any changes that we needed to do last second, and then we'll have the final numbers and the final plan on the next agenda, if there's a consensus to do that.
Mr. Purcell?
I don't have a problem with it. I just didn't know if you're looking for that tonight, if the others have questions or they want to talk about it again.
Ms. Cook? I know you just walked in, but you've been really active with all of this. Is there anything else you want to add, or?
I'm looking at the summary of it. No, yeah. It looks good.
Okay.
I think it should be on
November 8th,
November
7th.
First meeting in November.
Okay. Judy.
Yeah, okay.
Bob.
I'm just going through the Inland Marine and the back of the equipment. This has got everybody in it, or is this split out? Is this just county, or is this
Forest Reserve?
Forest
Reserve District, yes.
And everybody else?
Yes, it does include the county and the Forest Reserve, the health
Forest
department.
Forest Reserve is included, health
correct,
department.
Correct, yes.
Included, okay. And then we just build Forest Reserve back.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that breakdown's in here?
Mm-hmm. The schedules are in the PAC.
We don't have an allocation. We'll have to work
right.
on an allocation by the various departments and that. But Latrice gave us the template, and
we'll
work up to it.
Okay. Well, guys, you surprised me. I did an outstanding job.
Thank you.
Mr. Prochaska?
For the building values, how did you come up with page 35? How did you come up with the different values for our buildings?
So we received the prior information. So ICRMT does an appraisal every several years. So that would be pulled from the appraisal they did with CBIZ, and then we'd have to see actually when the new appraisal will be coming up.
What's a BPP value?
Business personal property.
Oh, that contents?
Contents, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
What is, same page, or well, 34, I guess, county office building property in the open? Is that like our parking lot?
The loose property out in the open. I have to see what the values are.
Maintenance garage.
Page 34, number 2.
34, number 2?
Yeah, it works. County office building. It has a county office building first, and then
maintenance
it
garage property in the
PIO
open.
It's about 100 and a half.
It's be miscellaneous.
It's like parking lot. And
property at the maintenance garage.
How's it going?
Is there another binder?
There's another one right here. Oh, yeah. David is our Forest Preserve Director right behind you.
Thank you.
Wearing the green, appropriate green jacket.
What, did he win the lottery?
Oh. I'm not exactly sure what that property in the open is, but it's been scheduled accordingly.
Nobody knows who it is?
We could actually go back to get it from ICRMT for the appraisal and see if they have more specifics on that
the
breakup.
Patrice or Scott, do you guys know?
The funeral home isn't listed anywhere.
Maybe that's it?
That's the only thing I don't see.
Do we insure that?
Do we need to?
Right.
Liability.
I was going to say.
It's probably helpful.
We need to for liability cleanup.
But boy, if that's just happening, fall down.
There's PIO at the courthouse too, so it must be something at each of our campuses, but outside the building maybe, I'm thinking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions on this? Otherwise, we will vote, we'll have a motion on the November 7th meeting.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, have a good one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's what they were saying. I would say.
Damn, the D's, yeah.
Oh, page 44 of the Olson Buildings. Pickerel Piggott's here too. Including the shed.
Pickerel House has been raised.
Yeah, it has been?
No, it will be. I mean, they're going to, fire department's going to.
Thank you. All right, now that Ms. Kulik is back, I will, do you want to take over or do you want me to continue? We're at Health Department, Levy. All right, I'm sorry, Matt, not Judy.
I was going to say, look what Matt.
Was over at John.
John's.
Getting confused, it's bouncing off.
I know, I'm like, wait.
You're watching that clock too.
I am, it's anniversary.
Yeah.
Mr. Purcell.
There's six if we leave. I got a birthday party to start at 5:00, so.
Is there ice cream?
What's that?
Would be ice cream.
You show up there, yes, plenty of it. So I guess the next two really items are tied together. The Health Department levy and the budget discussion. They really do get tied together, and I guess I'll just really skip to the budget discussion and the other is really incorporated in that. Do we have sheets on the budget in the packet anywhere or loose sheets?
I don't think so, it's all in the book, right?
I'm sorry, John, what'd you say?
Do we have any sheets on the budget?
The updated sheets are under tab one.
Oh, they're in the green books?
They are.
Sweet! Okay, so we need to go to our green budget books. And if the press would like some copies, I would ask that somebody make copies, Mr. Kepel.
Press would like some copies.
Thank you. And any member of the public. Okay, so if you would grab your green book, please, and turn to tab one, page one. The one that says levy, FY18 levy calculations and requests dated October 25th, 2018. Is everyone there? Okay. So if you look at the bottom, $2,019,078. Up a couple lines from that. The original deficit, $2,017,997. Does everyone see that? It's about four or five lines from the bottom there. That's where we were as of our last discussion last Tuesday. I believe it was Tuesday. We discussed it at the board meeting. And where we are now is actually a surplus of $1,081. So we reduced the deficit by $2,019,078. How, you may ask?
How did you do this, John?
Page two. Well, just type in numbers. It's kind of like the Fed, you know. The money grows on the trees, you print
it. Just keep doing it until
that's right.
That's what you want.
Actually, if you go to page two, it will explain this step by step. And these are just proposals. If people don't like them, hey, that's fine. But here's where we're at. Okay. So the first item you'll look at is actually line number four. And I spoke to Eric about this, and he had commented during his budget presentation about this $51,000. So $51,000, we had double counted, and I mentioned this last meeting, we had double counted the stipends for the state's attorney's office, so that reduced the budget by $51,000. And then October 2nd, the next few items here, there are just some different sheriff lines, property tax late payment penalties, GIS admin facilities, some expenses, VAC bonding. Those are things we had in the last presentation. So now you fast forward to October 25th, 2018 proposed. These are the numbers that have changed since last Tuesday. So the first, reduce capital expenditures. by $1,082,984. What that would do is that would leave $100,000 in the general fund. I believe it's $100,000, is it not? $100,000 in the general fund for capital, and that would include a $55,000 amount for a transportation vehicle for the sheriff's office to transport the federal prisoners, because the revenue we're getting back from that reimbursement is going into the general fund. We thought it made sense to fund that out of the general fund. And also $45,000 for a facilities management vehicle. There was a request for a couple of vehicles. That would be one vehicle. I'm not suggesting or recommending for or against any of the other capital, other than it doesn't go into the general fund. Those dollars would be shifted to the capital fund, and what I'd like to do is at the November Committee of the Whole, have the list of all the capital requests, the amount of money we expect to have available in the different capital funds. The two primary capital funds are the Public Safety Capital Improvement Fund and Capital Fund 040, which is for this campus, and at that point we can discuss it. We could probably fund everything if we wanted. There's pushing nearly $3 million in capital, but it would drain those funds substantially low, and I think that's something where we need to have a discussion of what we want to fund and what we don't. But nonetheless, this proposal pushes those out of the general fund into other capital funds, the monies that have been, you know, added to each year, so we can fund the different capital projects. The next item, line 13, is reduce health care expense based on the proposal we just approved.
That's huge.
Yeah, when we started out, we were expecting a 30% increase, so that really helped us this year tremendously. But then that is offset by a $226,000 reduction in revenue, which would be the employee contributions. So it nets out to, what is that, $470,000? Is that right?
418.
What's that?
418.
418. Okay, sorry. Bad math. Okay, next line. Oh, yeah, because we have the health care transfers in from different, from the HHS, from other lines. So it nets to 418, those next four lines, the 696, the 226, the 23, and the 28. The next one, reduce line 17, reduce expense, reduce debt service transfer out. This was one Mr. Kellogg was very astute in pointing out. The amount of money that we are transferring, or the amount of money we're paying for the bond payments we refinance, went down by about $50,000, and so we can fund $50,000 less from the general fund towards those bond payments. Next line, we had discussions with the probation. They agreed to transfer $10,000 more to pay for benefits for a couple of the positions. The circuit clerk proposed salary increase of $17,200. What that is to treat all, as we have in the past, we've done this for years, anytime there's union negotiations up, we do not fund those raises or any raises in those budgets. We wait till the negotiations are done, and then that money will go to the budget at that point. But because we don't know what those raises are going to be, there's no sense in putting in the budget. That money is covered by contingency. Next one is $55,000, and I also spoke to Eric about this, reduce state's attorney special litigation expense. He also discussed this at his budget presentation. He knows there's going to be some unique expenses for some of the cases he has coming up. He didn't know exactly what the number would be, but he put in his budget $55,000. What we've done in the last year or two is when those bills come forward, we just take those out of it. It was either admin or county board. I'm not sure which. But so what we did is we just have money in contingency, and when those come forward, if it's $5,000, it's $50,000, $75,000, whatever it is, we'll pay those out of contingency. But that way they're out of the budget for now. Next line is, next two lines, IMRF and Social Security levy. After talking to Jill, she had some real confidence that those levies could be reduced. The IMRF, the rate actually reduced for next year. And then Social Security, we had a pretty good fund balance, she said. So she felt comfortable that we could lower those two levies. Next line, an increase KenCom sheriff usage costs. That actually is just the latest numbers we have for KenCom, and they're up a little bit higher than what we had budgeted earlier. The next line is a new line. Transfer out to 27th payroll fund. So if you recall, and if you weren't on the finance committee, you may not recall as clearly, every 11-ish years, we have a 27th payroll, just based on you have one extra day each year, and then you have leap year, where you have a couple extra days, and over the course of 10, 11 years, it includes it accumulates to 2 weeks, so you have 27 payroll. The real challenge is funding that every 10 or 11 years. It's, you know, last time I think it was $650,000 or something along those lines. So how do you fund that? What this would do is create a fund, and each year we put in, that is approximately 10% plus, I think maybe a 4% inflator or something like that. But we just create a fund and add a little bit every year, so when that 27th payroll comes along, we're not scratching our head in 11 years looking for $800,000 or whatever comes out to be in 8 or 10 or 11 years. So that's a new line, but that would create another fund that we would put monies into each year. Similar to a capital fund, but strictly for a 27th payroll that just, it happens because of fluke of the calendar. If the Romans would have made 364 days in the calendar and never had a leap year, wouldn't have been an issue, but they didn't, you know, darn moon and all that stuff. The next thing is increased quarter cent sales tax revenue. We looked at that more carefully based on the most recent numbers, and we just felt that we could increase that number and you know, not be pushing it right to 100%, but, you know, tweaking it a little more accurately.
Not increasing the sales tax, but increasing the number collected?
Increasing the line in the budget when we looked at the, yeah, we're not, you're right, we're not increasing the sales tax, we're just looking at the real numbers we've collected, yes. I'm not proposing a 3/4 cent percent metric increase.
That has nothing to do with the South Dakota versus Wayfair ruling on internet taxes?
Nothing.
Okay.
It's just based on actuals we received so far this year, and I think that kicks in October or maybe December or whatever. But that's just based on actuals we received this year.
Mr. Prochaska?
So one is I don't know that it'll be broken down when we get from the state. Two is our sales tax revenue from the state is usually about, I think, 3 months behind. So I don't, again, remember if that kicks in October, January, but either way, we would have not received any of that anyway because we're always 2 or 3 months behind from the state anyway. Next one, reduce election costs. Our clerk was so kind and looking at the budget numbers and looking at it carefully and saying, yes, we can reduce. And so we were able to reduce $85,000 from the budget. And I think a large part of that has to do with the fact that there's only one election next year. And so that helps. But thank you for that. And then the final one is we looked at the interest income revenue. And based on what we've received so far this year, the treasurer said we could increase that line by $20,000. So you make all those changes to the general fund, you get a surplus of $1,081. So I said last Tuesday I'd have a plan to come up with a balanced budget in the general fund. Now, the one thing that ties into the health department levy, as I stated before, the plan we've used all along this year, and this plan includes the health department contribution based on the same formula we've used the last several years. So nothing has changed there. So that ties 4 and 5 together. I will entertain any questions, criticisms, or comments.
Mr. Prochaska.
Only questions from you, no criticisms, Matt.
Come on, let him have it.
Given the ICMRT renewal we just received today, is there a chance that we can reduce the 2019 budget amount for premiums from 77176 to the proposed premium renewal of 740112?
I think it's a real good question. We can definitely look at it. The one thing we want to make sure is that we have enough balance in there to fund any deductibles, et cetera. But very good question.
Pretty astute.
Yes.
Latrice.
I just wanted to make a point that the workers' comp claims are increasing. So this year, I think a budget was $400,000, and we've already spent $455,000. We're looking, and we might be at $500,000. So I would try to leave a little bit of a fund balance in the liability account.
So that might answer your question there.
Well, then you could always take it out of the premium line and put it into the, what we anticipate be paid out. Just
right.
To make it more accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Davidson.
Mr. Purcell, you made a statement about the elections. And we're only having one next year. I understand what it does for our budget, but what's it going to do to our budget in 2020? What I'm saying is,
when we have two elections again,
well, should we not be setting money aside like what you're proposing, you know, to compensate the extras to the budget rather than come up and say, okay, we need an additional $100,000 for the elections? in 2020.
So you're suggesting maybe create a fund just for elections and fund that?
Yeah.
With a steady amount each year?
Something there that it isn't a big hit on the general fund in election. I mean, we put, I don't know, 50,000, 70,000 aside every year, and if we got, you know, so, because this happens all the time.
It does.
Good question. And it's always been a problem, child, you know, every 4 years.
That's a real good question.
So you can ask Member Davidson's question. For next year, we're just budgeting for one election. And if there's a primary in, let's say, Oswego or the Aurora precinct, is there a guesstimate on how much extra it would be?
We've never had one, so.
Okay.
I mean, and it would only be for that. It wouldn't be a whole county. It would just be for whatever township pushes us into that.
It would cost more money if there wasn't extra record.
It would cost, yeah. But
it wouldn't cost anything if it's a cost.
Any other questions on this?
You'll get your turn.
So, again, November cow, we'll talk about capital. And just we're going to have to make decisions at that meeting, what we want to fund, what we don't want to fund. As I said, we could fund everything. I don't think it's prudent. I just think we'd take those funds too low. So I think we just need to make some decisions at that point.
We kind of merged the last two items there. Are there any other comments on the health department levy before you kind of went into the budget discussion? All right, I'll go to budget discussion. Anything else on budget discussion? Other business? Citizens to be heard? Questions from the press?
No questions.
Need for executive session? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Purcell, second by Kulik. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we're adjourned. That was easy.